Love that old quartet music. Amen. I don't think you can beat it. Amen. Luke chapter 15 is a great chapter in the Word of God. It's a chapter of lost things. We read the first part of the chapter, and I love verse number 1 and 2, kind of the preparation for the preaching. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And to that I say, amen. Yesterday, a bunch of us ragtag softball players went into the Parnell Correctional Facility. And Brother Brian, I just can't help but think some of the high church churches would have said, "What are you doing going in there? You're not supposed, those are the wicked men of society. What are you doing there?" Well, who else needs the Lord? Amen? Who else needs the Lord? "They that be whole need not a physician," Jesus said, "but they that be sick." And so here he begins to preach and teach, and the publicans and sinners draw near to hear him. Why? He was speaking their language. They knew they were sinners. Amen. And he begins to talk, and in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, he talks about a man losing one sheep and how he goes and he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one sheep till he finds it. Amen. Then later on in the chapter, verses 8 through 10, we learn of a woman who had 10 pieces of silver and she lost one of them. And she looked everywhere throughout the house and swept until she found it. But then we learn of a man, and so we find a lost sheep, we find a lost coin, and then we find a story of two lost sons. This certain man had two sons, the Bible says. And we're starting our series today on the prodigal son. And we've entitled our message today, "The Road of Ruin." I thought of another title, Brother Sammons, "From the Father's House to the Far Country." As we look at this story, and I know many of you are familiar with the prodigal son, I was just looking at my Bible. I have certain pages of my Bible that are all filled up. I have what's called a wide margin Bible, and it's got a big margin on the outside, and it's just filled up with notes on this chapter. So many devotional notes I've taken, and so many messages I've heard on this text. The story of the prodigal son could be summed up in three words, I believe: madness, sadness, and gladness, when you take it from beginning to end. You see, the prodigal son was part of a loving, safe, wonderful, hard-working, but as far as we know, broken home. There's no mention of mother. There's no mention of where she is or what had happened to her. The prodigal son, this son that we look at today, is one of 8 Bible characters who use the phrase, "I have sinned." And can we say this? I know from the authority of the Word of God, 4 of those characters that said that did not mean a word of what they said. You say, "Who are they, Pastor?" Well, Pharaoh said that. Pharaoh said that. He said, "I've sinned. I should have let you go." And then what did he do? He kept bothering the people of Israel. He kept trying to resist God. So that means he didn't mean it. Amen. He didn't mean it. Another one that we know is the character of Balaam, mentioned in the book of Jude, mentioned in the book of Numbers, that one that Balak, the king, tried to get to curse the people of Israel, and he knew he couldn't because God had blessed them, so he came up with an alternative plan to get them to marry the wrong kind of spouses, and then therefore they would contaminate that themselves, and God would take his blessing off. There was a point where he had said, "I had sinned," but he didn't believe it, or he didn't mean it. Someone else who said, "I had sinned," Saul, King Saul. When Samuel came to him and said, hey, listen, you're supposed to do what God said. And he said, I have sinned. But for the people's sake, could you still honor me? He didn't mean it. And then, of course, we know Judas. Judas Iscariot, before he went out and hanged himself, said, I have sinned. These are the four that didn't mean it. Four, including the prodigal, I believe, meant it. Job said, I have sinned. Achan said, I have sinned, but it was too late. David said, I have sinned and repented. And here, if you look further down in verse number 18, we didn't read it today. We'll talk about it in the coming weeks. But he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to my father, I have sinned. And he meant it. You say, what is the road of ruin, Pastor? When we consider this message on the prodigal son, what is the road to ruin? I remember when we had Brother Meadows during our missions conference, and he said that they've been digging a road for 13 years to try to get the gospel out, and they've been using picks and shovels. And I thought about that. I thought how blessed we are in our country to have machinery to be able to plow out roads. But then you have concrete that goes down, and then you have asphalt that's paved on top. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what the road to ruin is paved with? It is paved with selfishness. Selfishness is the pavement on the road to ruin. Here was a young man. He lived in the father's house. We'll talk about it here. But he was filled with selfishness. Can I say this? The Bible says that we sin and go astray from our mother's womb. If you have ever had two children in the same room at a young age, and you pray for us, ours are 3 and 1.5, we have seen selfishness is summed up in the word mine. But it's usually not given in that tone. It's usually mine! Mine! One reaches for one toy. We've learned a great lesson in that, Brother Heath, is if we get the boys something, we go to the store and there's a ball and one of them wants a ball and we're kind-hearted on that day and we happen to have a couple extra dollars, we get two balls of the same color to avoid war. Amen? Why? Because, listen, we come astray from mama's womb and we're selfish. You want to know how selfish a child is? It wants what it wants, when it wants, and if you don't give it when it wants, you hear about it. Amen. Selfishness. But here is somebody that he is a young man. He's not a little boy. He's not a small child. He's a young man, and he says here, he says in all his heart, he makes some selfish, and we'll look at them. First of all, he makes a selfish demand. Look at verse number 12. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Can I tell you just something about this as we look at this? Selfishness and ingratitude are Siamese twins. See, it used to be back in the old days. Some of you remember the old Guinness Book of World Records and Ripley's, believe it or not. You remember those Siamese twins. They would have one set of legs and one heart and one set of arms and then two heads. How many of you have ever seen something like that, the Siamese twins? They were together no matter what. Now, they could think separately and all that, an incredible thing when you think about it. But listen, I want to tell you, just like those Siamese twins, selfishness and ingratitude. Brother Hauser, you show me somebody that's selfish, and I'll show you somebody that's ungrateful for what they have. So he made this selfish demand. I want what's mine. By the way, didn't you ever know that an inheritance is supposed to be given upon the death of someone? Amen? This young son came to him and said, I want what's mine. I was a youth pastor for many years and I enjoyed it. But one thing that broke my heart over and over and over was watching young people say, I want to do what I want to do. It's my life. Really? I'd say your parents had something to do with you even having life. I'd say there's a God who sent His Son to shed His blood to redeem you. And the Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, it was a selfish demand. Selfish demand. You think about it. He came to his father and said, give me what's mine. It's going to be mine anyway, old man, when you die. Give it to me now. He made a selfish demand. Something else we can see in that selfish demand, number two, not only the selfish demand, but we see a selfish desire in verse 13. Look at his selfish desire. It says, and not many days after. Can I put my paraphrase on that? As soon as he could pack his bags, Brother Epperly. As soon as he could get his stuff together. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You know what his desire was? His desire was to get out from underneath the father and all his rules. Get out from underneath the father, because obviously, and forgive me for using this phraseology, I do not use it often, I'm using it in the prodigal sense, because that old man doesn't know as much as he thinks he does, and I know more than he does, and I'm going to go off into the far country, and I'm going to experience life. What he didn't realize, ladies and gentlemen, is you know what was at the father's house? Safety. You see, young person, you get off. You head off to the far country if you want to. God help you, amen. But you head off. But listen, when things don't go your way and you're out of the protective hedge of God, don't you blame your father and don't you blame God. You got your selfish self to blame. See, his selfish desire was to get out from the father's house. You say, what else was there at the father's house? Not only safety, how about provision? See, you see that later on in the chapter when he's literally starving and he's ready to eat what the pigs eat, which for a Jew was a horrific thing to even think about being anywhere near a pig, let alone being at the point to eat what he eats. And what does he say? He said, I was just remembering all my father's servants and how good they have it. They work hard. Yeah, they're servants, but they eat well and they sleep well and my father takes such good care of them. Listen, the road to ruin is paved with selfishness. We see his selfish demand. We see his selfish desire. He wanted to get away. He just never content. Restless at all that the father had. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You've got it good. If you have a father that's in this room, you've got it good. Listen, when I look back at my life and I think about the relationship I had with my parents, and my parents were not saved for all of my growing up, but I want to tell you something, Brother Pipko, I knew how good I had it. I'd see kids in school that had broken homes or bounced from here to there. Some young people that were in a foster type situation that just never had any stability. And I want to tell you, it wasn't a hard thing for me to look at and see how good I had it. See, the problem with the prodigal was he was so full of his selfish desire to leave that he forgot how good he really had it. He was filled with a selfish demand, a selfish desire. But also we see in verse 13, we see a selfish departure. A selfish departure. Verse 13, it says, and took his journey into a far country. You see, his selfish departure was this. He went away from the father And all the good things that were in the Father's house. All the good things. The love. Amen? Someone has said, my parents don't love me. I said, as long as they give you food, clothes, and a roof, that's proof positive they love you. I don't do that for strangers. Amen? I just walk up to somebody and say, you don't have any place to live here. Here's $1,000. Go ahead, help yourself. Now, maybe I should. Amen? I'm a pastor. I want to tell you something. He left all that and went on this selfish departure into an uncaring, cold, nasty world. Someone has said, it's a jungle out there. And it is. It is. So if you're thinking, you're a young person along those lines, and you're thinking, I can't wait to get out from underneath my parents' house. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, think again. It's not quite as easy as you think it is. And I like the old line. A friend of mine told me, friend, we get our cars from, he said, when you pay your own way, you can have your own say. I like that. Amen. The Father was providing everything for him, but he had a selfish departure. I don't even know if he kissed his father. The Bible doesn't say. He said, I'm out of here. How many people have said that and come back with a broken life? By the way, thank God you can come back. My parents said that to me after we got married. He said, go away. But you know, of course, you can always come home. I'm thankful for that. But you listen, he was all about what he wanted. He was selfish in his demand. Selfish in his desire. Selfish in his departure. Something else we see. He was selfish in his dissipation. Look at the end of verse number 13. It says, and he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, for a season in this young man's life, pleasure reigned supreme. Do you know why bars are packed on Friday and Saturday nights? Do you know why anything against God in the evening is just, you can't get a ticket for it? Because sin is pleasurable. Please don't ever tell your children that sin is not pleasurable. You're lying. It's pleasurable, and all God's people said, for a season. And then cometh the reaping. Brother Keith and I yesterday were out pulling some brush here. We were kidding with Mr. Jackson. We said, Mr. Jackson, it took you 2 minutes to uproot that brush last year, and it took me and Keith about 2 hours to pull it all. It was all this grapevine and stuff. And we got to this one stump that was pulled up, and Keith and I were looking at it, and it had all these vines coming out. We're cutting it with a hacksaw and cutting it here, and I got the axe out, and I started really having some fun with that. Amen. And got it all done, and I said, all of that from one seed. You see, you think God's law of sowing and reaping doesn't apply to you, but it does. It doesn't always apply to the other person. I say that about death. You know, most men think they're invincible. It's always the other guy that will die. But to the other guy, you're the other guy. Amen? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure reigns supreme. But I want to tell you something. Once the cash dried up, so did the comrades. Listen, the bartender, he's your friend as long as you got the dollar bills. But then when you go to him being a drunkard and having to have a drink and you don't have any money, you think he's your friend then? No, sir, no, ma'am. Get out. No money? Get out. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. He lost his cash and he lost his comrades in this dissipation. But then something else you can see in verse 15. He lost his convictions because of his selfishness. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, lost his convictions? The Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. We mentioned before, the pig is an unclean animal to the Jew. Terrible animal to be around. Awful. And so what he did, you say, what do you mean he lost his convictions here? Listen, him in his state would have never gone anywhere near a pig, let alone join yourself to a citizen. It was your job to take care of him. I have seen this over and over and over and over again in Christianity. Listen, you get away from the Father's house. Get away from the Father's house. And listen, you will lose your convictions. You will. You'll start saying, well, it's okay if I work at a restaurant that serves liquor and I have to serve it. I mean, I'm just doing my job, right? That's not okay. That by matter of fact, Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor strong drink. You say, well, I didn't brew it tonight. No, but you brought it right to him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, he lost his convictions. You get away from the Father's house and you will lose every conviction your mother and your father and your preacher and your Sunday school teacher have tried with everything in them to instill into you. You'll lose it all. Why? It's the road to ruin. Road to ruin. It's paved with selfishness. We see the selfish demand. We see the selfish desire. We see the selfish departure. We see the selfish dissipation. And you know what else we see at the end of the road of ruin of selfishness? Is we see destitution. Verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land. And he began to be in want. You see, before he left the far country, Brother Lem, he never knew what want was. Father took care of him. Father took care of him. But now, here he is, and all the father's inheritance is all dried up. And all the friends, quote unquote, please. All the friends that money could buy, Brother McGee, they're all dried up too. And now he has no money left. He's to the point of starvation. And the Bible says he began to be in want. W.H. Griffith Thomas, a great Bible expositor, started Dallas Theological Seminary, said this, life within and circumstances without often agree. Famine around matched by emptiness within. You see, these two things, as Brother Salmon said in his Sunday school, you take that 1963 ruling against prayer and Bible in public schools and just look at what has happened to our country. They're not coincidences, ladies and gentlemen. They're connected. You see this famine around because God is the one that sends plenty or famine. Amen? And so God chose to allow a famine in a land for this one. To realize that there was a famine not only without, but within. Because he hath left the Father's house. We see destitution. We see something else. We see degradation. We've mentioned it. We won't spend a lot of time with it there. But in verse 15, he went into the fields to feed swine. Listen, do you know how many? I have a good friend of mine. He's going to be preaching in our summer Bible conference. I hope each of you would be here each Thursday night in July and August. But if you say, I can't make them all, if there's one you try to make, try to be here when Brother Lawrence Mendez is here. Brother Lawrence Mendez is one of the most tremendous preachers you'll ever hear in your life. And Brother Mendez ministers in an area in Detroit where most of us would not feel comfortable driving in the daytime. He grew up in that neighborhood. His father was a gang member. Got saved out of the gangs. Won tens of those gang members to the Lord. But Brother Mendez ministers in an area where there is open drug use. I mean, you wouldn't let your children walk around the streets for fear that they might step on a needle. Where there's open prostitution, and I remember he said this to me. He said, Rich, you have no idea how many of those girls grew up in church and are from, and he'd named towns. He said, I grew up in church, I got away from God, and now I'm doing this for a living. You see, if you start with selfishness, you can end in degradation, degrading yourself, doing things that you would have thought you never would have done. Where does it all start? It starts with that seed of selfishness. Selfishness. Degradation. Something else, not only demand and desire and departure, dissipation, destitution, degradation, defeat. Defeat. You think this young man lived in victory in his life? No. Not while he was in the far country. Not while he was off in the far country, doing his own thing. And I think we see from this story that his own thing didn't last very long. I just want to get out and explore the world and get to see it for myself. Come back with your head in your hand, a broken life, and knowing that your parents were right, it doesn't unbreak their hearts or your life. Amen. Thank God scars heal. Listen, it do each one that's good and young, and even those of you that are older, you know, there came a place in my life where my father did not command me anymore, but I really respected his counsel, Brother Howland. Amen. That's part of honoring your father and mother. Hey, they're not in charge of me anymore. No, but you know what? They still got some good advice. They've still been 40 and you haven't. Amen. We see degradation, defeat, distress. Distress. He began to be in want. Would have filled, fain have filled his belly with the husks, verse 16, which the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. He was in deep distress. He was near death. Why is it, Pastor? Why? He had the big eye problem. Why? See, I want this and I want that and I'm going to go into the far country and I'm going to do what I want and I want my inheritance. I. When I hear somebody talk like that, it's not difficult to see that they are a selfish person. And by the way, lest you think that your pastor is robed in glory this morning, I have a problem with selfishness. And so do you. As long as I said that to a man yesterday, I sat down by one of the largest black men I've ever seen in my life. I sat down next to him and I was just looking at him. That man must have had a 25-inch neck. And I said to him, I said, what's your name? He said, Pain. And I got nervous. Is there an easy way out of this place? Do I have to climb over the wire? I got to talking to Pain and I asked him if he had ever accepted Christ. He said, I did as a young man. I made some mistakes. And I said, well, you know, Pain, we're all sinners. He said, I know that. I said, you're looking at one of the biggest sinners in this yard. You say, oh, you're a pastor. I said, as long as I've got red blood flowing in my veins, the flesh serves the law of sin, but the spirit, the law of God. You listen, as long as you've got red blood flowing through your veins, sir, ma'am, I know you think that, you know, your halo is just so glowing that we all see it, but we know it's your horns that are keeping it up. Amen. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You're a sinner, and you got a problem with selfishness too. Just like me, just like the prodigal. Thank God some of us sense overrules selfishness. And the spirit overrules selfishness. Where we say, we look at it from the end of the beginning and say, I don't like where that leads. I better get off the road of selfishness. If I don't want to end up on the road of degradation and dissipation, I better get off the road of selfishness. The prodigal son was on the road to ruin. Why? Because of the big eye problem. He was selfish. Young lady, a young man that wants to put his hands on you, he's full of selfishness. He doesn't care about you and all God's people said. He cares about himself. Brother Ouellette said it. I love it. Another one of our preachers this summer be with us, Brother Ouellette. He said, if a young man wants to put his hands on you and he says, I love you, he means I love me and I want you. And that's what it means. I. And you know what? Let's not get on the road to ruin. You know, Jesus said, let this mind be in you. Or Paul said, rather, of Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The verse before that, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You know how you keep from being about I? Look around at others. I had a young person the other day, not in our church, far away, told me what a bad day they were having. What a terrible day. And it was just a complaining comment. And so I said to them, I replied back to them and said, did you lose your house? Were you stricken with cancer? Did you have a death in the family? Did you lose your citizenship? Did you lose your salvation? What happened? She made a snide remark back to me. And I said, ungrateful. Why? She stubbed her toe and somebody annoyed her in the line at Walmart or whatever. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's selfishness. You know, by the way, the Bible says for three different groups, and I'm going to preach on this very soon, the Holy Spirit's job is to reprove. The preacher's job is to reprove. And Christian's job is to reprove. Sometimes you have to tell somebody something you don't like. Brother Sammons mentioned it in his Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes you get your toes stepped on. Hey, listen, if every little thing bothers you and people are just an annoyance and an inconvenience, maybe it's because you're selfish. And you forget that other people have problems. Amen? This situation in Joplin has reminded me, Brother Holy, how good I have it. How good I have it. You folks pay for a wonderful home for my wife and I to have. And I've mentioned it so many times, and we pray that way with our children. We want them to know our church, God, amen, first of all, but God uses our church to pay for our home. And every bit of food we eat and everything in our home is from our church and our God. That's the Father's house. But if I got on the road to selfishness and I said, you know what, I'm not satisfied in my wedding vows anymore. I think I'm going to go out and get off on this. And you know what? All that would be gone. Gone. So you know what? It's a whole lot better to never get on the road of ruin, which is the road of selfishness. To recognize that, hey, I've got selfishness in me. And you know what I need to do like Paul? I need to keep it under subjection. And the way you do that is by getting your eyes on others. It's not as bad as you make it, sir, ma'am. It's not as bad as, is this traffic light ever going to turn? I've got places to be! A little selfish? A lot of selfish? Amen, amen, and amen. You say, Pastor, who are you preaching at? This one. Because I have places to be. I need to do this. I. Next thing I know, I catch myself and say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Help me to be about others today. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about others. Father, we pray that you